the state memo sent out to schools saying that Native mascots imagery needs to be done with, or else there will be consequences that could include the removal of the superintendent and the school board. I think it's a very interesting issue to look at, and that's why I'm bringing on my first guest this morning, and that is John Kane, a Native activist who you might recognize his voice on the radio. Let's Talk Native, John Kane, from back in 1520. John, I was a producer of your show for a short period in time.
Yes, you were.
Unfortunately, not so anymore. But I miss seeing your face. It's great to have you on the radio. I want to just start with this idea. And I'm wondering what kind of role you might have played in this. Because you're as outspoken as they come on a lot of these issues and have been for many, many years. When this memo was sent out, did you play a little bit of a part in maybe shaping how this would be worded to school districts?
Not so much how it would be worded, but I actually was one of the forces that made this happen. As if you've read the memo, you know they cite Cambridge Central School in the memo directly, and that's where I went to high school. And I took the fight to them. As you know, I've been involved in some of the mascot issues before, including when Lancaster changed theirs. But, you know, when I've been involved in this debate, oftentimes I'm invited in by a school board or a school board member or, you know, perhaps one of the organizations that's involved in it. But my old high school never called. So I finally said, look, I can't take on a school like Lancaster and not address my own school. So I went to Cambridge back in the fall, like November of 2020, and I formally asked them to retire their Cambridge Indians mascot. I started a bit of a petition, and I garnered a little bit of support, mostly some overwhelming opposition, and I did get the school board to retire the mascot at the end of that school year. They had ran a few school board members onto new school board members who ran solely on the mascot platform, and then they rescinded the retirement memo. And the families that I was associated with in Cambridge then petitioned the Commissioner of Education, Dr. Betty Rosa, and claimed that the rescinding of that retirement resolution was arbitrary and capricious and an abuse of their discretionary authority. And she agreed. So she ordered Cambridge to return to its retirement resolution. And once she did that, I started pressing her directly and in the media out in the Albany area, the Times Union and other papers out there, saying, look, if you can tell one school to get rid of its mascot, you can tell the rest of the schools. But here's the backstory that most people aren't paying attention to. 20 years ago, the Commissioner of Education, Richard Mills, told schools then that this idea that you're honoring Native people is it's not flying anymore. You're not going to get away with this thing. We've done the analysis. We've looked at what the experts say, both on from a psychological association standpoint, and all of the Native leaders have weighed in on this. That was 20 years ago. And he told schools then, you need to get rid of the mascots and do it in a time that's practical. I mean, he didn't give them a deadline, and he wasn't threatening them, but he said, do it. And many did, but not all of them did. And some of them actually dug in, and some of them actually expanded the use of their Native mascots, like Cambridge. And I can't speak to Iroquois Central and some of the others, but they had 20 years. It wouldn't have cost a dime to get rid of these things because they could have just phased them out. But they didn't. And you know what? When Washington dumped its racial slur of a mascot, and Cleveland dumped its goofy logo and its name, another wave of schools said, yeah, the handwriting has been on the wall, and it's clearly becoming more prominent on the wall. I need to do this. But those schools who refused really refused at their own peril. So when this memo came out, which came on the heels of Cambridge suing the Commissioner of Education and losing in court. So now she had a court, the NYSED had a court ruling supporting this authority that the commissioner had. And, you know, here's the other thing that this New York State Department of Education has that Richard Mills didn't have 20 years ago. They've got laws. They've got laws like the Dignity for All Students Act, which is again cited in this memo, that you can't have promote a racial stereotype of a people and then have a law that's supposed to be supposed to stop discrimination. And of course, you also have this wave of diversity, equity, inclusion programs that NYSED has been active in promoting, and many schools have adopted these things. So the question is, how can you have a law that's supposed to prevent discrimination, a policy that's supposed to encourage equity, inclusion, and diversity, and still have one group of people being mocked and being used by others for their amusement and entertainment in these oftentimes ridiculous images?
You know, John, I can only speak for myself, but it's, I think, clear for me, and I think a lot of people, to see, and we go back to what happened in Lancaster. You mentioned what happened in D.C. with the Washington then Redskins, the Lancaster then Redskins. And it's, I think it's clear for people to look at that and see why, okay, you know, this shouldn't be a nickname anymore. I think it's a lot less clear for people to see out of, you know, Warriors. Warriors is going to be a popular one this time around because that's many of the school districts in Western New York we're talking about are the Warriors for their nickname. And I think people look at that and say, oh, wait a second, what's wrong with that? In your eyes, what is wrong with that?
Well, what people are understanding is they're missing the point. It isn't necessarily even the terminology. Yeah, some words are worse than others, savage and redskin, yeah. There's no question that those things are pretty derogatory. It's the idea of using a people for a mascot. I mean, the offensiveness comes from being used in this way. I mean, think about this, Brian. At the very time that schools were adopting these native mascots for their schools, and let's be honest, they weren't doing it for us. They were doing it for them. They weren't promoting us. They were promoting themselves and certain characteristics that they were trying to associate with those imageries. But at the same time schools were doing that, Native kids were still being ripped out of their homes and sent to boarding schools to have their identity stripped. So, I mean, how can you even not connect the fact that white kids were being encouraged to beat on their oatmeal canisters and smear their mom's makeup on their face and play Indian as a part of their schooling, while Native kids were having their identity literally beaten out of them? So, but what gets missed in all this is it's not necessarily the terminology. It's the practice itself. But on the terminology and the imagery, think about what they're portraying. They're portraying us as relics of the past. So there are many people who don't even know Native people still exist. What do they see? They see a logo on the side of a helmet. They see these buff, virile, aggressive, if not violent, images of Native people that are blast on their walls as murals or banners and that kind of stuff. That's the way we are characterized. Yeah, look, I have no problem. In fact, I use the expression warrior, but I use the expression warrior as a peacekeeper, not as a violent analogy to people crashing into each other on a football field.
I'm glad you brought up that point because, truthfully, that's why I brought you on today. Because you said something many years ago when I was producing your show that has stuck with me as, John, it is to me like the argument in this entire nationwide controversy that you brought up. It would have to be, you know, close to 10 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And that is that in your eyes, and I think truthfully, it treats Native people as if they do not exist anymore. And I remember you talking about this years ago and you bringing up things like Spartans or other ways that we would name teams, and it evokes an image of the past. And your argument was, well, it's not a thing of the past. I'm sitting here talking to you right now. And that, to me, is a key argument in all of this. Do you think it is the key to getting people to maybe understand your point of view?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I mean, the fact that we're still here. I mean, and let's be honest. I mean, we all know that this idea of objectification is a negative thing. But this is clearly what it is. And here's the one thing, Brian, I got to ask. For those people who say that they're doing this to honor us, I ask one simple question. How would you do the same thing to for black people? What would be your imagery? What would be the name of your sports team? If you can't come up with an appropriate name and image to honor black people, then why the hell do you think you can do it to Native people? Because you're creating. See, what I was saying is that this mascot issue and these names and logos, they are actually the erasure. Our presence isn't being promoted by that. In fact, our existence is actually being being clouded by this thing. It's almost being erased because we are being cast as these relics of the past. You know, we've had Hollywood define us. We've had famous authors define us in their literature. We see this on television. We see it, and we see it in these mascots. But we're still here, and we're living, breathing human beings, and we aren't necessarily somebody with a tomahawk in our hands on the warpath.
John, I have two cousins of mine, half Seneca, and I've talked to one of them about this quite a lot, and he went to a Native college, and he spent a lot of time talking about this issue with Native people from all over the U.S. And his big takeaway from this, and I want to know what you think about this, because this is the other thing. Your point is one that sticks with me on this issue. His point is another. And his big takeaway is there's no real consensus among all Native people that everybody thinks the same way. And his big thing was, I think most people are just sick of white people telling us what we think. From my knowledge and what I've heard over the past few days, at least from the Seneca Nation, they were not made aware that the state was going to send out this memo when they did. This was a directive from the state. Is there a little bit of that here? Is there a little bit of, can we stop pigeonholing everyone in to one box in terms of how they feel about a particular issue? Because your opinion, my opinion, might not reflect everybody's opinion.
Well, and that's true for Native people and non-Native people. But let me be clear here. There is somewhat of a consensus when you look at the nations who have weighed in on the subject. There's not a single Native organization or Native entity of any kind that has defended this. We've had the National Congress of the American Indian. We've had the Native American Journalists Association. The Seneca Nation has already weighed in on this. In fact, some of their statements regarding this use of mascots was used in the Cambridge case in the lawsuit and has been placed in front of NASA, as was the Mohawk territories, as was Onondaga, the rest of the Haudenosaunee, all of the nations that are involved with their ancestry being here, and frankly, in all these other regions. Native people have waited. Now, I know that there are individual Natives who don't hold the same view. And part of it, and I'm going to explain that. You consider the fact that we have experienced, through residential schools alone, almost 200 years of erasure of identity. We've had our language forbidden. We've had so much of our culture that has been derided, and then it gets lifted up in Hollywood. And then we see the dominant culture doing things like naming the football teams after them. So I know that as I was a kid, I knew a lot of my relatives who were Washington football fans or Cleveland baseball fans. And the reason they were is because it was the only thing in the dominant culture that they could identify with. But as many of us matured, we realized what a mockery it really was. And especially as this whole idea of the business of sports grew, when you see 50,000 people, in red face, slinging, these foam tomahawks and really just embarrassing. I mean, it is embarrassing because it is a mockery. I mean, look, I have to keep making the analogy. We know that blackface is wrong. But why don't we know redface is wrong? I mean, we still had people showing up Kansas City games. They were showing up at Cleveland games, literally in redface and headdresses. I mean, I always got to point to this one. There was a Philadelphia sports fan, both for the Eagles and for the Flyers, who would, when they would play a team like Washington or the Chicago Blackhawks, this guy would put on makeup. He would take out of a duffel bag a rubber head that he had dressed, you know, made up like a native, like a decapitated native head, with headdresses on and with war paint on. And then he had a saber. He would run through this head, and he hoisted it up during the games. And you know what? TV couldn't resist putting him on. I mean, even during the Stanley Cup playoffs, they couldn't resist focusing in on this Philadelphia Flyers fan with the impaled Indian head.
Because we're running out of time, to sum up your argument against it, it sounds like it's basically you want Native people to be treated the same way that anybody would treat any other race of people.
Yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, yes. And we are the only ones singled out for this purpose. And it's just got to stop. It is a mockery. It is the appropriation of our identities. And unlike many other mascots, people become really, really obsessed with this. And you have people say, no, I'm going to be a warrior for the rest of my life. Do you ever hear anybody say, I'm going to be a panther for the rest of my life? I mean, the way that white people especially have glommed onto this imagery, and the second you tell them that it's wrong, I've always said, you know what's even more racist than using a native people for a mascot? The response you get when you tell people it's wrong.